Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. You are listening to our music classic, and you can find all of our music classic chats out at BaltimorePositive.com. There are now hundreds of them. I unearthed a bunch of them back in about 2014. These are more recent tapes. You'll find the transcripts of these as well out at Baltimore Positive. This is ZZ Top. This is Dusty Hill and Billy Gibbons, mainly Billy Gibbons, talking about the Delta Blues Museum. This was recorded backstage at the Capitol Center after their Recycler Tour show on Sunday, January 13th, 1991. The band had an interesting publicist, and who was also Stevie Ray Vaughan's publicist before that. But he insisted that I meet the band and chat with them after the show, which was in my years of being a music critic. And I was about 7 years in. This was very late in my music critic career, January of 1991. I had not met a lot of bands who wanted to do interviews afterward, other than Paul Stanley with Kiss did one afterward in a hotel room with me. But this was backstage with the band. They literally were taking off their sunglasses and ordering new prescriptions for their sunglasses. Strangely enough, the show was unbelievably elaborate at the Capitol Center. They were big stars doing multiple nights by 1991. So the transcript says ZZ Top discussed their ongoing association with the Delta Blues Museum, which they had supported for 3 years. They were inspired to visit the museum in Clarksdale, Mississippi after a recommendation. The band took a 4-year break from touring, focusing on new material and writing a theme song for Back to the Future Part 3. Got to double back again. Their recording process in Memphis shifted from synthesizer-heavy music to a more blues-influenced sound. They emphasized a mix of old and new songs in their live performances with a focus on bluesier tunes. The band also highlighted their environmental awareness through their Recycler theme. This is Billy Gibbons and a little bit of Dusty Hill and I think even a little bit of Frank Beard backstage at the Capitol Center in Landover, Maryland on January the 13th, 1991. Please find all of these cool interviews out at our almost famousness and our classic music category at Baltimore Positive.
As far as the Memphis thing getting pressed together a couple weeks ago, I didn't understand. I haven't read any of the stories, or I don't know exactly what you're trying to do there. But I heard you're pretty serious about that also.
The press conference that unfolded last week.
Okay, so I need to call Dayton.
That was a convenient place to locate to discuss our involvement, our ongoing association with the Delta Blues Museum, which is a fundraising association to benefit the Delta Blues Museum. And at that same time, we were recognized as having played an instrumental part in bringing some recognition to the museum.
Now, how did you find out about the museum, or have you been going there for?
Well, we've been going. We've had this particular association going for about the last 3 years, and it was during the recording session for. We were in Memphis doing some kind of a tracking session and took the weekend off to go to Clarksdale, Mississippi to see the Blues Museum on the recommendation of a friend of ours who happened to see a sign, Blues Museum, this-a-way. And we decided to go check it out, and I'm sure it was there.
So what is the curator like, this place, the caretaker of this place? What kind of things is he accumulating?
Oh, you'll find the usual books, records, videotapes, magazines, but then you start getting into a lot of local icons, old guitars, photographs of Delta Blues musicians.
Robert Johnson set, that kind of thing?
Things like that. Plus you've got the benefit of being in the Mississippi Delta where this music had its origins, and you've not only got a great place to focus your attention, but a direct feel from where this music came from. So it's pretty intense place. He's got it going.
Now, how's this tour worked out? You know, it took you a little while to get back on the road. It's been 4 years?
4 years, exactly.
Well, I mean, you were pretty regular, you know, every year and a half or 2 years prior to that one.
Yeah, we the last tour was about 2 years in length, and at the conclusion of that run, we decided to take a little time off. We started writing new material, and then we were called to write this theme song for Back to the Future Part 3, which ended up with us taking making a cameo appearance in the film, and that took some time. And
what was that like? Your cameo took all of 2 minutes on the screen, right?
Yeah, we worked for about 3 days and knocked it out. It was a lot of fun. We actually played between takes. It was like the town fiesta.
Oh, I just saw the movie. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I saw the movie.
Well, it was. It was a real party. It turned into a real party, and it was fun. It was really great fun. But in fact, there's some great outtakes of that evening, a couple of evenings of work.
Professional video tip, right?
Yeah. So that was a lot of fun. And then we just started working again in Memphis. And after we looked up, it was 3 years had gone by.
Right.
And it was the thing to do.
But the actual writing and recording process of this didn't take any longer. It's not like you honed these songs for a longer period of time or anything.
Well, I guess we didn't plan it that way, but they did get worked on a little longer because when we got to Memphis, we beat the equipment truck by 2 days. And in those 2 days, we had scared up some other gear to jam on, and we started just playing the blues, and that really redirected our attention at a different approach to the sessions. We had actually arrived with one set of books for the Eliminator Afterburner style of music, and then after 2 days of playing the blues, we chucked it and started over.
You chucked up the writing and the material?
Yeah, we just said, well, wait a minute, you know, we're gonna. I think Double Back was the first thing we started working on, and we had worked on that. The rest of the stuff was pretty much written in Memphis. We just started over. It was a little easier. It was just the feel of what we were doing live changed the direction dramatically. So yes,
feel 10 years younger.
Yeah, why not?
Well, I mean, obviously you recognize the difference in the styles between Afterburner and Eliminator, something like back in the Diabuelo type of days.
But yes.
What is the difference? I mean, what makes you come in and do it one way instead of the other? And why did you change it this time?
Well, it just felt better. I think that had we stayed on a synthesizer journey, we might have wound up becoming I don't know, maybe a rap band or something. I mean, it was a revelation to be trapped on borrowed equipment,
right,
letting the natural feelings come out, and therefore changing the direction of the material that dramatically.
Is the material gone forever then?
Well, I'm sure we could. No, it's still existing in a kind of pre-recorded form, and we could certainly go back and do the Eliminator Afterburner treatment to some of the old, to some of this other material, but we felt that what was happening was appropriate to continue, so that's where we left it.
So are you a little bit disenchanted with that music now? I mean, I noticed your show, you know, more Tush, more LaGrange, you know, more things. I don't think I've heard you do Tush. You didn't do it on last tour, did you?
And I don't think so.
No, I mean, so there's some stuff there that you didn't do Cheap Sunglasses, but that surprised me because this show more brought the I saw you here in 1980, the first concert I ever saw in this building.
Okay.
I was a kid. I was 12 years old.
Yeah, yeah.
And I came here, and I had third row seats. I got on the night of the show, and I didn't know much about you. I remember the reason I came and saw you is because of the fiery ZZ Top logo you had behind
you. Yes.
And I said, that's cool. I'm going to go see that band, you know. So I came down and saw you guys. And
we're going to switch up the interviews now. That's okay.
Oh, can I
have a couple? We got started late. Just a minute more.
So are you at all disenchanted with that kind of music? Or?
Not necessarily. I just felt that this association with the Blues Museum, a lot of this bluesy alignment kind of fit into a restructuring of the way we made music, the way we recorded it. And that's why it sounds a little more Tushy and LaGrangey, because we were playing more like we did. It's like Trace Ombre's meets Apple. That's about it.
Well, it does come forward in the show. You were putting the show together, you had that same bluesy feel, and you were feeling the same kinds of things.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's why we got no Rough Boy, and we got no...
Yeah.
Well, I mean, there's a certain segment out there that really likes that Afterburner Eliminator type of music. Even if they do like the blues, they know you for the synthesizer music. By the way, your question is, how much of the synthesizer are you using on stage now? I mean, how much of it doesn't come from the three of you?
Oh, there's a couple of sequence bits that follow Frank.
Yeah, that's what I heard. I heard it in the drums, I think.
When they work, but, you know, you kind of cross your fingers on that end. But it's a lot of hand work.
Is that more pain in the ass than doing it, just playing it yourself?
Well,
I mean, you got to come out here and do this 150 times, you know, after you put an album out.
Yeah. It's a little more work. To coordinate, but it all depends on your taste, how you're using it, how deep you want to get, and we're not really that deep into it. We've chosen not to.
Did you program the synthesizers in the last album?
Yeah.
You did all that then?
Mm-hmm.
So,
and Dusty.
You're not a slave to the guitar then? You have fooled around with some of the gadgetry?
Yeah, I pretty much lean on Dusty to work it up.
I was talking to Donny Osmond.
I was talking to Billy a little bit about the style of the album. Just talking about the different styles of the album, he sort of says there was the Eliminator Afterburner music y'all had ready to go when you went to Memphis and you pitched it. Any particular?
Yeah.
Was that just a threesome decision, or was that?
Well, you know, it's like a lot of our decisions, too. We don't sit down and have these huge meetings. We follow what we feel, and it was a natural thing. You know, it just took another direction. Took it with it, you know.
So what happens to that music?
It was in different stages of completion too, and we write some songs, 10 minutes and done. We've been writing one song for like 18 years, and then we can't write the song. The thing is, this for radio?
No,
we can't write
the song.
Well, you know what I'm saying. So I mean, we'll go back and take something and say, hey, see how it works, and change it. See if it has any feel or not to it. Again, we've got a lot of stuff like that. We've got a lot in the can, as they say.
I think it's interesting talking to you guys after I've seen the show, so I draw more conclusions, but it's sort of like the music you did tonight, and I guess you're doing the same set every night, reflects the sound on the album more so. There isn't a lot of the Afterburner Eliminator kind of music on there. Was that a conscious effort?
Well, there's a... The said, is, I think, a good mix of a lot of our albums, you know?
Well, I think I've seen you the last two tours, and I did, that you were pretty much focusing on that type of music. I don't think you even did Tush last
time. Oh, no, we always do Tush.
Maybe with LaGrange, or you didn't do some of the older stuff.
Yeah. Oh, probably not as much as this tour. We're doing about a half hour longer, or 40 minutes longer on this tour as well. So there's a lot more tunes.
Right.
So maybe it just stands out a little bit more as well.
Well, you cut out some stuff like Rough Boy.
And that was, I really loved doing that song on stage. That was hard to cut that one out. But 2000 Blues sounds a little too much like it, I think. So we wanted to do that one.
Right. Well, you don't need too much slow stuff.
It looks like, it's hard to take out cheap sunglasses. We get a lot of shit about that.
There were about a dozen guys giving you shit on the way out.
But, you know, we can't do them all.
Well, does it come to a point where you change it up?
We'll change it if we decide that's the deal. You know? But the flow of the set has got to have a certain feel to it, you know? And you just can't just haphazardly take a tune out and put another one in. Or I guess you can.
You can do whatever you want. It's your band, right? What about the staging? I guess you guys aren't engineers of any kind, but how do you get something like that?
The idea is...
He's getting to answer a lot of questions here.
He's been primped. He's primping. The idea is somebody comes up with one and that just starts with the flow. The ideas are no problem.
I get into the flow.
It's shutting it off is the problem.
Well, the whole recycler theme, is that very environmental of you?
Were you taking a drag off my cigarette?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I mean, I can't do everything. You want me to quit smoking, too?
Drink it out of a plastic cup.
Well, yeah, this is the ones they gave me.
We wash.
I used the same one for like...
We wash and take them on, yeah.
You're doing your part. No, but...
Managers and cup wash.
That thing, the recycler thing was more talking about cars at first. Redoing old cars. And all that stuff. You know? But, we're becoming more aware of it as the tour goes on because people are talking about it. So there's a lot of things wrong in the world, you know.
Right.
And people ought to be aware of it. You know, we're not going to preach to anybody or start these big things, but it's good people know about it. I think the name itself just draws attention to it.
Being in Memphis last week, where you were doing the press thing there, that's why I was so surprised to see you guys wanting to do it in person. But what's your association with the Delta Blues Museum? Just give me more details about it.
It's
obviously it's pretty important to you. I mean, you haul all the press down there and doing it that way.
Yeah, I mean, it's neat. People should know about it. It's a museum for the blues to show the history. And we're just trying to let people know about it and raise a little dough for it.
Is there a Blues Hall of Fame, or is this pretty much serve as that?
It's the only one I know of. But, I mean, there could be other ones.
I didn't
know about this one until a few years ago.
Did you talk to the guy about how it all started and how he got the idea for this and why you didn't know about it until a couple of years ago?
We didn't know about it because it's in Clarksdale, Mississippi, in the library, you know, and unless you have a reason to go to Clarksdale, I don't think a whole lot of people go through there. So,
how far from Memphis is that, or is that?
It's about 90 miles.
Okay.
You know, it's not bad. And once they get a good facility going and everything, I think people will make the trip. I mean, they'll come to Memphis, maybe have some sort of shuttle thing or something.
Right.
There's a lot of ideas, you know. And I think it's real important.
Oh, you guys have done a lot. I mean, just you meeting the press there. I've seen a couple stores on the wire already, and it's going to turn into something bigger just because you did it. Yeah. Thank you.